Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Motherhood in Hollywood. This week, our show is brought to you by Bumby Box. That's right. Bumby Box. What is it, you say? Well, I'll tell you. You guys have all had those situations where your little one gets into things they probably shouldn't, and then you have to spend some time redirecting and finding new things for them to play with. Well, Bumby Box has the answer for you. There is a simpler way to find fun activities for your little one. Bumby Box is a monthly subscription toy box curated for your child. What does that mean? Inside each Bumby Box you get every month in the mail, there are award-winning toys that are tailored to your child's age and interest, and they support play-based learning and activities. What? But check this out. There's even more. As if you aren't already in love with it, check this out. For all my moms who are all about keeping toys clean and natural and fresh, every Bumby Box toy is free of PVC, BPA, and other harmful plastics. So good for the environment, fun for your kids. You got to check it out. Go to BumbyBox.com. And also, for my listeners, Bumby Box is offering a special discount if you enter the code MIHOOD at checkout. That's MIHOOD at checkout. You'll get 10% off your order. What? Saving money is the bomb. Go to BumbyBox.com right now to find out why Bumby Box is a better way to play.
Come on, Mama.
Grab your popcorn and goobers. It's time for Motherhood in Hollywood with your host, Heather Brooker. This is a crude prude's perspective on being a full-time mom in showbiz. She's not a perfect mom, but she can play one on TV. Hold on to your butts. Here's Heather.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 46 of Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm Heather. Thanks for joining me on the show today. Really quick, I want to tell you, our guest is Lindsay Cavett. She is the CEO, co-founder of Expressing Motherhood. Now, she explains a lot more about what Expressing Motherhood is, so I'm going to let her do a little bit of that. But it's just incredible what she has created over the last 9 years involving Expressing Motherhood, a way for moms and some dads even to come and share their stories about motherhood. She says that's the one requirement that they do in Expressing Motherhood. It's a stage play, a performance, monologues, if you will, and stories. Oh my God, I almost died. Did you hear that? I literally almost died. I don't know. I don't even know if I want to edit that out because that was real. That shit was real. Okay. So anyway, I'm actually not even sick. I woke up sounding like a man today. So that's always fun. Anyway, I'm very excited for Lindsay to share her story with you because she has, and also we talk about bad moms and how moms are cast in Hollywood and, you know, why sometimes they're not as realistic as we would like them to be. Hello. I know there's producers and writers listening. Come on, y'all. I don't think it's the people that listen to my show, though. I think it's maybe the people that listen to The Nerdist. I think it's maybe those folks who are writing poorly for women. But no judgment. We're just going to go with it. All right. So it's been a pretty awesome week here in Motherhood in Hollywood land. I got to do a live Facebook event for mom.me. So much fun. If you have not seen that yet, head on over to the mom.me Facebook page and look through their videos. It was on Thursday the 12th. And it was so much fun. I got to talk about the MIH 15 by 15. So many great questions because you can ask live questions there on the Facebook feed. And I just thought that was really a neat, it's a neat little thing. I might start doing that myself. I don't know. That sounds like fun. I may just start doing live Facebook chats with everybody. My biggest fear, though, is that I'll go on a live chat and just be like, hello? Hello, is anyone there? And just be me and my husband. We'll be like, you're doing great, babe. So I'm thinking about it. But anyway, I got to go to mom.me and I got to talk about, you know, some of the things I liked and didn't like about my weight loss challenge that I did. And I know there were some people looking at me like, bitch, you are so fat. I know. That's not the point. The point is I'm working on it. I'm learning things. It's a process. It's a journey. Okay. Let's all embrace the journey. Okay. And what else happened this week? I had a really good audition. Well, I mean, I say really good, but I didn't get it. So I never know how good it actually can be at that point. But it was funny because I was talking to the other women in the waiting room, and what the audition required us to scream really loud, like a blood-curdling scream in the scene. And we were all joking about, how do you rehearse for your screams? For those of you, for the actors who have to go in and do these like murder scenes or something like super dramatic like that, what do you do? Where do you go? Do you, because you can't really scream in your house or your, you know, apartment. Some people say they scream in their car. But if I see someone sitting in their car just screaming their head off, I'm going to think crazy or an actor and probably just keep going, you know? But if I'm screaming in my house, somebody might get a little concerned. Pardon me, kids. This is real. This is real life. And so I don't know. Where do you guys practice your screaming? I need to maybe figure that out. Maybe acting class. I need to take an acting class. I would love to hear anybody's recommendations for a good acting class. And I don't mean just like an audition class, because I crush it at auditions. What I don't... Oh my God, I'm an ass. But no, I would like to hear you guys' suggestions for like a good acting class. Like, where do you like to go? Who do you like to learn from? Because I'm looking for something to kind of get my creative juices flowing. Also, I'm going to be performing at Flappers in the next month or so, doing a little stand-up comedy there. But I don't know if I want to tell you guys when it is, because I don't know if I want people to come and see me. Is that weird? I'm super private when it comes to stand-up. I would much rather do it in front of total strangers, especially if I bomb, than in front of people who I know and my friends. My friend Greg and I were talking about that, and he's like, that's dumb. He's maybe right, but it's my own issue, my own insecurity. So that was what was happening. So that's going to be happening soon. I may or may not reveal that information. We shall see. We celebrated my friend Mark's birthday this week. What up, Mark? He will not reveal how old he is. You guys, I'm so sorry. I don't know what is happening, why I keep coughing and phlegming all over the microphone today. Oh, I want to real quick give a shout out to my new mom friends, or some new mom friends that I met. We had this wonderful mommy get together from a Facebook group that I'm in. It's super secret and private, so I can't tell you what the name is. Exclusive. And I want to say, what up, Tish? What up, Julissa? What up, Keiko? So great to see you guys and connect over our shared mommy experiences as actresses. I love that. I love getting together with other moms, especially other moms in the industry who get it. You know, we're all kind of swimming upstream here, moving towards the same goals, you know, and it's nice to connect with everybody. Maybe it's the burnt Pop-Tart that I'm eating that keeps making me have to clear my throat. If you get a chance, go to motherhoodinhollywood.com to check out all of my latest blog posts. I'm hoping, I've been asked to contribute to a lot of different websites, lifeasmama.com. I did a wonderful post there. Wonderful, if I do say so myself. A fun post there about TV shows we're watching these days in our house. And I also, over on mom.me, there's a post about my weight loss journey as well. So you guys check those out and make sure you follow me at MIH Podcast on Twitter and Motherhood in Hollywood on Instagram and Facebook. And for the love of God, subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you haven't subscribed to Motherhood in Hollywood yet on iTunes, you're dead to me. You're dead. So please go and do that and leave a review while you're there. Makes me feel good on the inside. Okay, you guys, it's time to wrap up the mommy monologue. And let's head over. Where are we going? I'm so dumb. Here's the interview with Lindsay Cavett from Expressing Motherhood. Since you
what?
What do we do now?
And all of a sudden I'm like, it'll be fine.
It'll be totally fine.
Yeah.
Hey you guys, welcome to Motherhood in Hollywood. I'm sitting here with the lovely Lindsay Cavett from Expressing Motherhood.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So we've actually been sitting here talking for a while, and I finally just decided I should start recording our conversation, because otherwise I would probably literally sit here and pick your brain for the next couple of hours.
And I would have done the same.
And like ask you all kinds of mom things.
I think so. Yeah.
So tell me really quickly, tell me about expressing motherhood. This 9 years old now, right?
It is. Expressing Motherhood's in its 9th year, and it's a play, a national play that I started, I co-founded with my friend out of Los Angeles 9 years ago, and it consists of people sharing their stories about motherhood on stage.
And is it actors?
So, nope. In fact, that was why, you know, we started it and it was really important to us. We didn't want it to just be actors and published authors, even though, despite the fact that we live here in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. we wanted it to be the mom who was just burning to get out of the kitchen. And that is, so we've had some women who have never performed before. And then we also have, of course, over the years, gotten some actresses and some authors. But in general, we are open to everybody. And it doesn't have to always be a woman. It can also be a man. The story just has to be about motherhood.
About motherhood.
Yeah.
I would also like to point out that today is the day that the tree trimmers decided to come to my house.
Oh, no.
So people might hear a little bit of like buzzsaw
action. Are they
action.
Trimming your trees?
Yes. I was like, really? Oh, no. Right now? They told me yesterday. They were like, we're going to come tomorrow. And I was like, really? Are you sure?
That's pretty quiet tree trimming.
I know. I'm just afraid that like the minute we get into like the serious stuff, the Barbara Walters moments, that you're going to hear the buzz saw. Just,
oh, wow.
Yay.
It'll make for good comedy.
I know. I'm like, fun times at my house. So I watched the YouTube video sort of explaining what expressing motherhood is. Mm-hmm. And I love what seems to be the various types of stories. It's not all like, my kid's a butthole and I drink wine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. No, totally.
Although that is a valid, story.
It is. And it's a true story.
Right.
But again, when we started it, we just, you know, we couldn't really find other examples of parenting stories that were emulating what we were going through, which were raw and real. And so the beauty about doing it on stage is anything goes. Right. So it's definitely not getting up there. You know, in fact, I would always tell people, I don't want a motherhood is hard story.
Yeah.
It needs to be specific. And a lot of times we also have, you know, a lot of funny pieces, moving pieces. You know, there's so many topics, like anything can go on.
And you pick the topics, right? Do people write into you or how do they get chosen for the show?
So the whole show has been revolved around simplicity because I literally would do this when my firstborn would nap and he was a really good napper. So I got a lot done.
Did you find people would like call your BS on that? Because my daughter was a great napper and great sleeper from the beginning and people were like, oh, really, Heather?
Well, mine was a horrendous nighttime sleeper in the beginning. So that's why he napped really well. But I think, and I also put to bed really early. Yeah. Well, whatever. That actually worked in my favor.
Yeah.
But I think people are starting to call. I know it's sort of like you're not supposed to say I worked during their nap time anymore. But I swear to God, I did. That's what I did.
I never really napped when she napped. I know that that's advice. I would get that advice from people who didn't even have kids because it's somewhere they heard someone say one time, nap when the baby naps.
Yeah.
And in theory, that was great. But she's taking like when they're little, they're taking like 7 or 8 naps a day. And I'm who's got time to do these little cat naps all day?
No, that would not work out. I always would get so excited that, you know, they're asleep, obviously.
Right.
So everything was done via the computer. So that's how the submissions came in. It wasn't an audition process because I didn't have a nanny at the time. I didn't have a babysitter. So I would just get the stories via email. There goes that tree tremor. And I would go over the piece and then help that person edit their piece for the stage.
And is your background in writing or acting or performing in any way?
It's somebody just gave me a shirt and it says writer, producer, director, you know, like one of those
fabulous.
Whatever you want to do. You're it all
hyphenate mom.
Yes. So as in college I studied film production and I had I took a lot of classes in writing at the University of Iowa, so with the writers workshop. But, you know, just as a little kid, I was one of those girls who, like, got everybody on the block, you know what I mean? And, like, putting my brother was with the flashlight. He was the strobe light person.
Oh, it
was just
fun.
So
you had a lot of disco performances with the strobe light.
Totally. I did. I pursued acting until I was 25 here in L.A. And I stopped because I knew. I was like, this is not my passion. I was glad I tried it. Mm-hmm. And I would look at the women in their mid-30s going on these auditions. And I knew that wasn't something I was okay with for myself. Not, I mean, kudos to them because I wasn't booking the job either.
I can tell you as someone who's almost 30.
Wow,
no.
You're a baby.
I'm just a baby. No.
Yeah.
I can tell you that being in your mid-30s and going on audition for a 1- and 2-line part and looking around the room at all these other actors who are also hoping to get this 2-line part, it can be a little soul crushing. You're like, what am I doing? I thought I would be much further along in my career. Am I making the right choices? You know?
Yeah. So, and for me, I just,
but that's pretty smart that you had that awareness so early on.
Yeah. And I was so glad that I did pursue it for 2.5 years. I was solely going on auditions. I wasn't landing anything. I landed theater.
Yeah.
I landed some jobs there. But so then I went back behind the scene and was much happier.
What did you do? Did you go into production?
I sure did. So I went to a film post house, and it was an edit house for a lot of big name directors of music videos. And I was looking for a mentor, but I was 25 with long blonde hair, and I was incredibly shy.
Yeah.
So I could barely muster a few words together, you know, and I was getting their hamburgers. So it was like, here you go, you know, and I didn't want to seem as if I was hitting on them, truly. I was just really shy. So there was, luckily though, through Women in Film, I applied for a mentorship and I got lucky and they said, shoot for the stars. Who would you want to be your mentor? And I said, Nicole Holofcener. And then,
who is that?
She is a female director. She's one of like the top.
I should know that, huh?
It's all right. You can look her up. And I knew I was saying that and all of a sudden I'm blanking on her movie names. I need more coffee, but her films are just, I know I need to Google it, but
I was gonna say, if I have the internet here, I can look it up.
Yeah,
it's one of the amazing things about,
so they are. So I went with my husband and he shot an independent film and I shot all the behind the scenes stuff on it, and then I got the call from Women in Film that Nicole would be my mentor.
Oh wow.
So I could not believe it. Cannot believe I can't remember her name.
Enough said. Please forgive. Friends with Money.
Yeah. So Friends with Money. But that came out actually. She had just shot that like when I met her. Anyway, but it was.
Oh, she's doing One Mississippi with Tig Notaro. I just auditioned for that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What are some other ones?
Orange is the New Black. She's directed. Yeah, a lot of TV. Amy Schumer. As a writer or director?
It's Walking and Talking.
Oh, and she did a bunch of Sex in the City.
Yeah, I think it's Walking and Talking. Anyway, and she just met with me and like we met up anyway, a canyon, but I won't say which canyon, and we had some tea and I was again nervous. That's a common theme. And I had some chamomile tea and she's like, "Are you nervous?" And I said, "No." And
she said,
"Well, I drink chamomile tea when I'm nervous." I was like, "Okay, I am." And we just bonded. And anyway, just meeting another female director was, you know, it was cool for me, and she was good to bounce.
But then did that make you give you an interest in directing, or was that something you
I'd already had that interest ever since I was little. So, and as you know, that field in itself is obviously very male dominated,
right?
And I felt like the only way to get into that was just to do your own project. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be someone's assistant in that field because I just feel like you end up being the assistant for a really long time.
Yeah.
So, and I came from where I went to college, people, you know, I just came from a world where you go out and you make a short film or you make an independent film. So anyway, I did end up making a short film that got into a film festival, but that was, by that time I was pregnant and, you know, wanted to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
So
what changed, do you think? Like just that realization that you are going to be a mom and have another person depending on you, or?
Well, I think what changed is the fact that I knew I was not going to go out there. I didn't have a great job. You know, I was just trying to work my way up in the barracks, you know, and I was 29 years old. I was married and,
what does your husband do?
He's a writer.
He's
so
a writer.
I had not established myself yet when I had my child, and I didn't want to leave my baby and go work, you know, whatever, 50, 60 hours a week and lose out on that time with him and pay a nanny a ton of money.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be home with my child. So when he was a year and a half, that's when I came up with the idea for Expressing Motherhood and called up my good friend, Jessica Cribbs. And she was like, "Okay, I'm on board. Let's do it." And so we started the show.
Awesome. Did you find when you had your first baby that you had a lot of mom friends, or was it difficult to meet other mom friends? Because Hollywood can be a tough business for parents.
It is really tough. I lived in the Hollywood Hills and I had no friends. I was very young in Los Angeles to have kids, and I was dying thinking of all my male counterparts because I mostly worked with men prior, and I was so jealous of them, and I had no friends. Everybody had nannies in my neighborhood. And nobody was a stay-at-home mom except for me. I felt like the country bumpkin up there on the Hollywood Hills, you know? And one day I finally approached the nannies. I was like, can I do a play date with you guys? And they said no. God.
Oh, no.
I went home and I told my husband, I was like, we have to I don't know if I can say F.
You
word.
Can say F.
I was like,
all you want.
We have to fucking move. I was
so
mad.
They said no.
Well,
to a play date? What
was it? Was just a weird, but you know what's funny? Two months after that, I met a mom walking in the hills, and she was like, I have a baby, you have a baby, let's get a play date on. And she was amazing. We ended up meeting three other babies and their nannies and some of the parents. And so she orchestrated play dates.
Yeah.
So then we ended up getting into rhythm. And then those nannies, I totally know, hung out with them. It all worked out. It was probably a misunderstanding. But without that, I think I would have lost my mind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I didn't do a mommy group.
Why didn't you do a mommy group? Is that not something you wanted to do?
Because he was such a bad sleeper.
Oh.
When he would nap during the day, I was like, I'm not going to wake him up and go to a mommy group.
Yeah. I did. I made her go. Like
should have.
She was a good, Charlie was a good sleeper, but I also was like, oh no, I got to go and meet people because I didn't have any friends at the time who had kids.
You didn't.
No, and I was like, we're going.
Well, you're young too.
We're going. Oh, thanks. We're going. We're going to meet other moms.
So like, you're smarter.
Get it together, lady. We're doing it because I didn't know the idea of going to a park for me and like walking up to a total stranger and being like, hi, especially when you have an infant, is weird because it's not like they can really play.
No.
I also didn't really take her to the park a lot as a baby because there wasn't anything she could do.
Oh no!
So it was just a lot of like walks, and you know, my mommy and me group saved me, but it also forced me then to start seeking out places where we could go. Like I think Channing, I signed her up for toddler camp when she was maybe like 13 months. Like as soon as she was walking, I was like, we're going to toddler camp because every week it was a new place in your area where you could go and check out like Amy's Playhouse in South Pasadena or like some kind of new park or something new every week that somebody else already planned out for you. And it was such a huge help. And I met other moms through that. And I slowly started expanding my world. It's so hard as a mom.
It's really hard. It's really hard. I used to have dreams that I was walking my baby down the street in Des Moines, Iowa, where, you know, like my family goes back three generations. And even though I moved around growing up a lot, I spent every summer there and graduated high school there. So I just couldn't believe that I was raising kids here. I would see young girls who were working at like Old Navy and I'd be in the dressing room and I'd say, you know, be careful with who you're dating, you know, because wherever they're from, you might have to move back there. Or worst case, you're going to get stuck in Los Angeles like me.
Oh,
you
no.
know what I mean? Even though I love my husband and I was
right.
But it was. Turns out I really lucked out because I'm still friends with all those neighbors and from the old Hollywood Hills. I really lucked out. I mean, and we all met because we were walking around. So it really helped that we had sidewalks.
Yeah.
But so it turned out good there. But it was like a year where I have moved since Hollywood to a suburb and I found that much lonelier. It's been 4 years now. Incredible. Way more lonely.
Yeah. So, that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Not as many people walking around.
Exactly. I truly find that Hollywood, if you're in Hollywood, because when you say Hollywood, it could be, you know, the whole city or the industry. But I used to walk and I'd see a pregnant person or she'd be holding a baby in the bag. You got a baby? I got a baby.
Let's talk.
You were saying,
let's be
talk.
Friends.
And they'd be writing out their phone number, you know, like I was like, put it in my mailbox.
Right. I just in the past like month or so met a couple of really great moms at the park who have kids that are Channing's age. And we're all like, hi.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Let's be friends.
I think so.
So now we all text each other and stuff. And that has been so lovely to have that option. But now I find that I'm like so busy with this podcast and stuff that I have to cancel a lot on them. And because I'm also still, God willing, trying to be an actor. Aww. So I have auditions pop up last minute and I have to cancel play dates. So I'm sure they're like, what a butthole. Because they're not in the industry. So it's kind of hard to explain why you have to cancel things last minute sometimes.
Yeah, and, especially being an actor.
Yeah.
But I think it's so important to see people offline. Especially like if you're on the if you're in the online industry or just working or whatever. Oh my God, get offline. I feel like it's so important to see, make time for your friends. Like I have a girlfriend who lives on the West Side and I want to make her a t-shirt that says I drive to the West Side just for you.
Oh, I love that.
Because, you know.
Like, I don't know anybody I would do that for.
Oh,
no
my
friends
God.
On the West Side.
I know, yeah. I really love this one.
She must be a good friend.
She is my special friend.
Can you guys tell we're having a blast on this episode? I love talking to Lindsay so much. And I also love talking about BumbieBox. BumbieBox sponsors Motherhood in Hollywood. And if you go to BumbieBox.com, you can get a 10% off discount off your order by entering the code MIHOOD. Now, before you rush to your computer or your phone while you're driving or however you're listening to Motherhood in Hollywood, let me tell you a little bit about BumbieBox. BumbieBox is an eco-friendly toy subscription service. So what that means is every month you get a box full of toys without any harmful chemicals in them that are specially curated just for your child. It matches their play level, their activity interest, anything, and their age level, their age group. The best part is, you guys, they're toys you can engage with your child in. I love playing with our BumbieBox items with Channing. She loves the Play-Doh, and it came with this really awesome Play-Doh kit where she can cut out shapes, make imprints in it. There's also, you guys have heard me talk about the dinosaur puppet, which is still a staple at bedtime and brushing teeth time. So it's such a fun box full of natural toys that are not going to be harmful to your children. They're fully sustainable toys. And I know that that's important to a lot of moms. So definitely check out BumbieBox. It truly is a better way to play. Go to BumbieBox.com, enter the code MIHOOD at checkout, and you'll get a special discount, 10% off from Motherhood in Hollywood. And BumbieBox, a better way to play.
Michelle of Homemade Mimi.
Oh, wait. Yeah. No, wait. I do like
Michelle.
I mean,
Michelle. Come on. Everybody would drive for Michelle.
She's pretty awesome. She and I just did a BuzzFeed video together.
Oh. Was it the having a baby one?
Yeah. And I don't think, I don't know if it's come out yet.
Oh, okay.
Because there was one, they did two different versions of it. The one we were in was like a home birthing version. And we're kind of waiting for that one to come out.
Yeah, because the birthing one's doing well.
Yeah, it's doing really well. But we did it and I did a blab with Michelle like a couple months ago with Mom Angeles.
Yes.
And we were chatting in the chat room with them. Everything was fun. And we're all having a great time, whatever. And then we followed each other on social media like you do to support. And then it didn't even dawn on me when we were shooting this video that who she was, because we were both, she was giving birth and I was her, spoiler alert, and I was her doula / nurse or whatever. So I'm in between her legs literally for like 2 hours going, you could do it. This is great. And like delivering her baby. And then at the end I was like, you did such a good job. You did too. And she's like, so what do you do again? And I was like, oh, I have a podcast called Motherhood in Hollywood. And she's like, Motherhood in Hollywood. She's like, I'm Homemade Mimi.
Yes,
and it was the funniest thing.
Yeah.
Ever.
Hollywood and Homemaking.
Yes.
Which
it
is
was
great.
So
she's
cute.
Great. So.
It's so funny to me how the mommy bloggers will introduce themselves by their blog name.
I know. I feel like such a douche. No, the worst though is because I'm like, hi, I'm Lindsay. I'm expressing motherhood. Because I feel like that's what you should.
That's
and
what
then
they know,
the
yeah.
worst is when someone's like, I'm nothing. I mean, they're joking. Like, I'm so-and-so. And then I just feel like an idiot.
Right.
But it is.
You shouldn't, though.
No, you're right.
Like,
but that
it's
is
their fault for not getting off their ass and creating something.
That's true. That is so true. But yeah,
it's just funny to
it
me.
It is funny.
Yeah, because like Vina was like, she was, oh, I was telling my friend Rachel, you know, something the other day. And she was like, wait, Heather Brooker. And she goes, Motherhood in Hollywood. She goes, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's so funny. My name has no value anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm infinitely fascinated with the mommy blogging world. The more I get to know it, and we were talking a little bit earlier, but the more I sort of delve into it and I meet these great moms and I'm like, there's a whole community, not just in LA, but like all over the world of moms who are collectively saying, this is how I feel about breastfeeding. This is how I feel about napping. And, you know, everyone's got these very vocal opinions that they're not afraid to share online. And I'm kind of trying to like bust through my privacy bubble a little bit and share my opinions, but there's the haters online.
Yeah.
Who you trolls. Have to, the trolls who yeah. you want to, I don't necessarily want to please them, but I also just, I don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't care about your opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you can still be a mom and, you know, be online, and you don't necessarily have to share those private parts.
Sure.
Right? You can still be creative without that being the
focal. Why do you think there are so many? Do you do writing on, do you do writing on Expressing Motherhood's website?
No.
Or other
websites? I don't. I did start blogging in 2006, and I closed it down when the show started because I didn't. You know, I didn't want it all that exposed.
Yeah.
But I do write for mom.me right now. And so it can be personal or it can not. But yeah, sometimes I'll write something. I just wrote something about distracted driving because I'm a road safety advocate.
Right.
And, you know, people are just pummeling me, you know, and I don't want to get into it, though, because it's like I get into it. It makes me feel horrible. I don't get into it. I won't attack anybody. But it bothers me.
I want to attack people.
I'll attack my husband.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And then he's like, get off the internet, you know, because he's not a social media guy.
Right. Why do you think that the internet gives people license to just say whatever the hell they want to say and just blast you? And because I will read the comment section on some of those like HuffPost articles, and HuffPost seems to be like one of the more crazies, but I will read the comment section and just be floored at the number of people who are like, you're a terrible person and you should never write your opinion.
Oh God. I think the comments should be closed.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it's ridiculous. And I think it's sort of, it's almost like how we drive cars. You can't see your face. We become barbarians again. You know, I walk around and I have plenty of wonderful interactions with humans, but then you go on the internet and you think doomsday is coming the next day, you know, and it's not. You know, I've really, like, my son and I went fishing, urban fishing, which was really awesome.
What is that?
Well, it's 10 minutes from my house.
Oh, so there's
a little fishing pond. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, and like this guy who, we were obviously from very different from each other. He was like heavily tattooed and he was so cute, like helping us with our rod. And we had no idea what the hell we're doing, you know, but it's, you know, I don't know. Like in person, I think people just are kinder.
Yeah. Are much kinder because they can hide behind the anonymity of their computer and their keyboard and just say whatever nasty thing they want. There's been times where I have been tempted to just put somebody on blast. Whether it's something they've written about
me.
I know, but then I'm like,
I don't know. I don't think anything good comes from that. But I could be wrong.
No, you're right. Because I'm in a Facebook group and I had posted something about my podcast, I think it was. Like it was a podcast episode that I thought this particular Facebook group would find interesting.
Yeah.
And this girl just like ripped me new one. Like, why would you think we would care about this? And it was just like for no reason. And I was like, okay, I guess I misjudged.
Have you met her in person?
No, I don't know who she is. That she is was just so nasty. Weird. And so it's weird. Fired back because that's what I do. Yeah. I was like, then keep scrolling down. Like, you don't need to stop on this page. Keep moving. And like, what's wrong with you?
So what did she say?
She was just like, I think you need to go back and read your initial comment about this post because you don't know how you sounded and you came off as very rude and that was very off-putting. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's Facebook. Like, also I swear a lot.
So okay. I was like, I normally do too.
I was like, it's Facebook post. Like how do you know what my intentions are in black or white? Like you don't. So whatever. People just get nuts on Facebook.
They do get nuts. And to circle it back to the whole mom blogging too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why you don't really, or is that part of the reason why you don't hesitate? Because you just don't want the trolls to have you.
I'm not. Yeah. Whereas I find with the theater, it's such a respectful audience.
Yeah.
And they come and they listen. And then afterwards, like they're hanging out. They want to meet the women.
They
who
want
share
to
their
be
stories.
There. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about it.
What are the audiences like? Are they mostly moms?
You know what? We have men. We have men. Yeah. We'll have men come. I would say they're probably mostly women, but I've had men been dragged along and they will stop me afterward and say, oh my God, I was dragged here. And I want to tell you how much like I enjoyed this and got something from it, which always makes me feel good. Or like my mom, you know, she's like, I thought this was going to be so stupid, but this is really
You're like, thanks.
Yeah. That's just the way shit. But that's actually one of my favorite compliments. You know, they're like, the bar was here, man. So anyway, but I just, again, I really love like getting out of our house because I feel like in LA, especially, my God, we can, we are isolated more. Totally. I mean, it's like, I, you know, I have to get off Facebook too. I get sad when I see friends from back home or, you know, doing things that I wish I was doing, you know, or like they're hanging out and it kills me because it's just not easy here.
No.
No.
It's not. I'm not going to lie. When I saw your show, your last show, I was like, oh, I want to go. Oh, it's Santa Monica.
I get it. I know. And you like, know what?
Ooh,
I hadn't gone west of La Brea in like 4 years.
Oh, I think it's time.
That's why I went.
Oh, the west of La Brea.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, I'm usually east. I'm usually east of La Brea.
I missed all of the east shows.
Yeah. So you'll have to come back because I don't want to go over there.
Yeah.
Because
it's too far.
For the, I mean, you guys probably know, but it's, you know, the drive home was like 45 minutes.
Oh. And it's so funny because here, 45 minutes is like, feels like forever. Usually it's longer, especially if you're coming from the east side. I mean, I've been in my car from auditions in Santa Monica for 2 hours or more.
Oh.
That's when I listen to podcasts and a lot of talk radio.
You're right. I should say it was 45 minutes because it was 11 o'clock at night.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
And but Shannon from Mommy Tonk and I, we got stuck in, there was, I mean, gridlock on the 5.
I love Mommy Tonk.
They're great.
They're so great. And they, how did they find you or did you find them?
So they were in my show separately. Shannon and Stacey have this hilarious group called Mommy Tonk, which you should definitely check out.
Mm-hmm.
They travel around the nation. They sing songs and tell irreverent jokes about motherhood, and they're dirty and hilarious. They're so funny.
Now, I should also remind everybody that a few months ago, I did an interview with you and the Mommy Tonk ladies and put it on a little snippet of it in my podcast from the Big City Moms event. Mm-hmm. So if people are like, wait, why does this sound familiar? That's why.
Yeah.
I talked a lot about Mommy Tonk then and expressing motherhood a little bit in that show as well. So obviously I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
I want to do a show, but I saw that you don't have any coming up.
I don't. So I usually what I do is I'll end a show and then I'm like, just relax.
Just relax. Yeah.
Just be a mom. That and like a week, maybe a couple days goes by and I'll send an email out to a theater. So I already have an email out. So I'll let you know when the next submissions are going
to
come up.
Okay. And so people then can write to you or they email you through the Expressing Motherhood website.
Exactly. So the best thing to do is to like Expressing Motherhood on Facebook, and I only because that's where I post the most. Yeah. I don't post very much on our website. I mean, but anyway, that's the best way to know when the next submissions come up. And they're usually open for sometimes one day only, sometimes a couple of days. And then you just email me your submission.
Now, have you noticed, I know you've seen a lot of growth in Expressing Motherhood over the last 9 years and the popularity is just taking off. Have you noticed in the industry lately there is mom topics and mom things are super hot right now? How many mom movies do we have coming out this year? Mother's Day.
Right.
Bad Moms. There's tons of TV shows now that are mom-centric.
It is. And it's really hot and people are dumb not to put it on the air, I think. I mean, I think it is time.
Yep.
And it's amazing. You know, and it's funny because when we started this, it's because we couldn't find anything like it.
Right.
You know, and I know it's theater. It's not like we were putting on TV.
Right.
And I have, you know, there's definitely, I've shopped this around a little bit. But
oh, you have? I was going to ask you, so what do you see in the future for it?
Well, I want to parlay. I'm working on something right now that would be very exciting, but I can't say yet.
Okay.
So anyway.
Ooh, secret.
Yeah, it's a good one. So we'll see. But so maybe I'll be back in a little while.
Yeah.
But you know, you'll hear this thing like HBO. Nope, it's too male dominated. Lifetime. Nope, your show's too dirty. You know, it's like.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because we talk about abortion, you know, or people swear. I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, you're too old. We only want millennials.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the bullshit that I run into. Like,
what bullshit is that? I'm sorry. Like, you are a millennial, aren't you?
Me?
Yeah.
No, you're not? I'm not at all. No.
But you're 29.
Oh, bless your heart. I was totally lying a second ago.
Oh.
And but you believed me. Jesus. You believe me. Okay. Acting. But also, yay, that you actually thought I might be 29. Oh, my God.
Oh,
I love you so much.
Thank God you're not a millennial. I'm sorry. I hope that isn't your main data. It probably is. I love millennials. I'm teasing.
I am an amazing actor, if you believe that. But honestly, I'm so glad because that means my moisturizer is working.
Yeah,
so,
no, it is. No, I mean, they're great, but I'm just so sick of hearing that.
Yeah.
Women are so, I feel like I'm such a more interesting person now, being 39.
Yeah.
I'm so much more confident in my own skin. Like, all the cliches are true, you know? And it's amazing.
What did you think of the Bad Moms trailer?
Haven't watched it.
You haven't watched it?
What did you think?
Well, my immediate reaction was Mila Kunis. Like, you picked, like, the hottest, most gorgeous people. Now, my first gut instinct was, like, moms don't look like that. And then I realized, actually, a lot of my mom friends in L.A. do look like that. They're gorgeous ladies. Mm-hmm. That's not the norm. They are definitely the exception.
Yeah.
But that's
They're all hot and skinny, aren't they? All three of them?
All of them. Yeah. It's Mila Kunis. Mm-hmm. Kristen Bell. Mm-hmm. And Christina Applegate. They're all gorgeous women. Mm-hmm. I don't buy. They show this scene of Mila Kunis in the trailer. Granted, this is all just based on the trailer. I'm still, I want to preface this saying I am excited to see the movie because it's about moms and I'm looking forward to it. But the Mila Kunis is this harried, you know, like flustered mom, can't seem to get her shit together. And she's doing all of this wackiness in like 6-inch heels and a tight fitted business suit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just don't buy Mila Kunis as this type of mom. So for me, and it's purely from an actor's perspective, I don't buy that casting.
Maybe that's why I didn't watch it. Because I think on some level, I was like, first of all, she is so skinny. And she just had a baby, which is great. Some people do that.
Right.
But all of them are skinny. And I don't want to see it.
It's not real.
I don't know. There's so many of those
Do you think it's because it's not reflective of what you see in your everyday mom life and with your mom friends? Is it is it body type? Is it more like or the situation? Because I don't know, honestly, any moms who are so like, like crazy out of control that they're like, can't get their kids in the car to get to school or can't get their kids to the bus stop. You know, I think that maybe happens every once in a while.
I think there need to be more dynamic shows out there.
Yeah.
Where it's not, I mean, I'm not a real big fan. Actually, I'm not a fan of romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. And to me, I feel like that is in the same vein a little bit. You know,
It's
it doesn't interest. I'm not going to pay money to go see it.
It's written by the guys who I think wrote Vegas. It's written by two men. Yeah. They wrote the TV show Mixology. I don't know if you remember that. It was a short-lived show on HBO, on ABC. Mm-hmm. And then they also, I want to say they wrote Hangover. The Hangover movie.
I know a guy who wrote the Hangover.
Oh, wait, maybe it's not that. Maybe it's like it got compared to a Hangover like for moms.
Okay.
That's what it was. And I am excited to see stories about moms, you know, but it was one of the Facebook threads that I wrote, read once again was like, I don't want to see a movie written by men about moms who can't get along. Why does there have to be a problem with the PTA mom? And there's always a conflict and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, because nobody would watch that. If nobody wants to go to a theater and watch a movie of a bunch of moms getting along.
Like, that's so not true.
There has to be some kind of conflict or some kind of drama and heightened because that's what comedy is. So that sort of line of thought I thought was a little invalid. For me, the issue was more casting. Like, come on, you couldn't get.
Yeah.
Like a Melissa McCarthy in there, you know, or a Heather Brooker. I'm just saying, I'm a throwback.
I mean, come on.
You
know what? You probably would have made me watch the trailer.
Right?
I'm serious.
And be like,
you would have connected with a lot more people. What interesting casting.
I think so.
I mean, Christina Applegate, I think she's a great comic. I do.
Yes,
I like her a lot.
Very funny. Yeah.
But
Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell is funny, but Kristen Bell just did like a similar kind of role in a movie with Melissa McCarthy, the movie The Boss.
Oh, I see.
Where it's almost like they almost have the exact same joke about the bra and the boobs and, you know, how we never, none of us apparently ever have the right kind of bra. Thanks, Oprah.
Do
you remember that whole Oprah thing?
Do I remember? I think about it a lot. I'm like, I must be wearing the wrong bra.
We all must be wearing the wrong bra.
That's funny.
Bra. I don't know why I said it like that.
That's because I think I got a little Midwestern
you. Did get your Midwestern bra.
That was that.
But no, I watch these movies and, you know, then I stop and I think, no, maybe you're just being jealous and immature because you're not in it.
Right.
You know, and so I have to hold back on my posting a little bit because I am trying really hard to see all sides because I would hate to put something up there and be like, this looks stupid. No mom really looks like that. Mm-hmm. And then one of my gorgeous mom friends go, actually I look like that. And then I'll be like, oh, you do. And you're gorgeous and lovely.
That's true.
So I find myself constantly conflicted.
Yeah.
But my personal opinion when I saw that initially was, I don't think I would have cast these moms in this role.
I agree.
As the moms who are so ready to like break out of their shell and go a little nuts. That's kind of the point of the movie.
Yeah.
I want to see real moms. I want to see the mommy tonk moms. I want to see the moms I saw in Expressing Mother. Do you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I know.
Those are the kind of gals.
I mean, mommy tonk. Yeah. Everybody would watch them. They're hilarious.
Yeah. So funny.
They're so funny. Yeah.
I just wonder why Hollywood is resisting that so much. They're like, no. We know you want to see mom stories, but we want you to see hot mom stories.
I have no idea. It really blows my mind.
Yeah.
You know, I thought things would be so different by the time I was almost 40, which I am. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, ageism obviously is still such an issue. Like,
totally.
I was trying to rack my brain over the last few minutes. Like, what's a good drama that I've watched recently where it's a mom as the lead?
On TV or in film?
Film.
Oh, God.
Right? I can't even think of one. I
don't know.
I guess Meryl Streep's popping up in my head. It wasn't a drama. Yeah, it was sort of a dramedy.
That Rocket Ricky and
but
the
that
Rockets
wasn't.
Or something. Yeah. Yeah.
It's just interesting. Whereas,
it's
you know.
Meryl Streep. She gets everything.
Yeah. Male. I mean, war movies. How many war movies can we have?
So many.
Like, I was flipping through the top movies. I think it was just 2 weeks ago on whatever. Wherever you buy your movies at home.
Netflix or?
Yeah, the one you have to pay for. Not Amazon or something. And it was all men. All, you know, male dominated.
Yeah.
Literally. I think.
Because that's who the majority is making the TV. Making film.
You're right. I know. And I know it's a little bit of a boys club. But I also have to say, in defense of, like, as a woman, it's really hard. Like, I would not have want to sacrifice my time with my babies to go be a PA.
Yeah.
In the hopes I would become
one day be a director.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wanted to stay home with my kids. And so I think there's a little bit of that too. I do think eventually it's going to take time for us to get those roles.
Right.
Because I know a ton of really sensitive men in Hollywood.
Right.
I don't know.
Men. And I do too. I think though, the more I'm learning and the more other moms I'm talking to at various levels in the production side of things, that it's not just the writers, because there's a lot of great mom writers. I just interviewed a couple of fantastic mom writers from Fresh Off the Boat and Bob's Burgers. And I don't think it's at the writer producer level necessarily. I think it's at the network level. I think it's at the film production company level. Like that's
where... Yeah, the networks, they don't want to change.
No.
I don't know what the hell. It's like they're stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
They don't want to take a gamble.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's weird to me.
It is weird. And it's, I'm enjoying sort of reading about the process, because for so long, when I first moved to LA, I was all about acting. Like, I was taking workshops. I was trying to get an agent. I was getting the best headshots. I was taking classes. Like, you're so focused as an actor on the things that people tell you, like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
That I never really took the time to learn more about the other side of the camera. Mm-hmm. Now I'm finding that since I've had my daughter, I want to know more about that side, because I feel like I have to, because I don't want to continue to be the mom, you know, the actor that's in their 40s or whatever, hoping to get a 1- and 2-line part.
Well,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with, you know,
you just want more.
Admire those people. Right. Yeah. But I think it's an exciting time. I mean, because digitally, just make what you want and put it out there. I think, you know, people with their YouTube channels, I think that's the way to go, is just do it.
My friend Erica just wrote a blog post about that. She has a YouTube channel called The Subway Mouse, and she talks about how she just really took the bull by the horns and started creating her own content on YouTube. And she got a lot of flack from, like, purist actors about that, who were like, oh no, I'm an actor. I've trained and I don't do YouTube videos and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I feel like that is a dated way of thinking.
It is a dated way.
And you are not going to advance your career anyway if you're not willing to catch up with the modern age. I mean, the millennials, they're running online stuff now. I mean, they just are, and you have to either get with it or get lost and be bypassed.
I think so. I think it's also, though, empowering. You can create whatever you want. I mean, it's also a lot more work, and it'll weed out talent, though. I think, you know, so my hope is that is going to parlay into more shows about mothers, you know, that are, and women that are, we can relate to more.
Right. I want to see those shows. I want to be in those shows.
I know. I don't want to be in them, but I want to be like, writing and producing. Yeah.
I'm so torn, because there's a part of me that wants to be the writer and producer and control the storyline and be like, no, this woman would never do that, you know. But there's also the performer side of me that really wants to play that role.
Yeah.
And as an actor, you know, there are lists in Hollywood that you have mm-hmm. to be on. And if you're not on those lists for casting, you're not going to get considered for those parts. So I'm like, well, fuck, I just need to do my own stuff then. And it's, it's a constant battle I have within myself that I end up just getting really tired and going, no, I don't want to do any of it.
But you have this huge, I agree. Well, because I know, right? At the end of the night, you're like, I'm like, I just, Real Housewives of Orange County. Know, right, bring it to me. But you have this huge audience. And, you know, that's what I think is really interesting about being a woman and, you know, a creative person, like, is to see where your trajectory, you never know where it's going to end up. Like, and I'll tell again, the young 22-year-olds, and they're like, whatever. Because in their mind, they're like, I'm winning the Oscar by a third.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, you never know where it's going to go. So you could, I don't know. I think it's kind of exciting.
I mean, I'm still young and fabulous.
And so fabulous.
I want to remind everybody really quickly where they can find Expressing Motherhood. Mm-hmm. And I know you had mentioned they could, once you're ready to start the next show, tell me again how they can contact you and follow all of Expressing Motherhood.
Yep. So you can go to Expressing Motherhood's website. It's expressingmotherhood.com. And, but make sure you like Expressing Motherhood on Facebook or follow us on Instagram or Twitter. That's where I'll let you know about the upcoming show. And I also have another city coming up that I'll announce soon.
Oh, fun. Yeah. That's another thing. Yeah, because you don't just do it here in LA. It's all over the U.S.
Yeah, a year after we started it, we took it to New York City and we sold out off Broadway for three nights. Great. Yeah, so.
And so that means if you guys are listening in Oklahoma or Iowa or wherever.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We were there last fall.
Oh, fun. Yeah. So you guys could have the opportunity, if you just follow Expressing Motherhood on Facebook, you may have an opportunity to perform in a show if they come to your area. So
thank you, Heather.
Yay. You're welcome. Thanks for coming on the show. So you guys, I'll also put this information on motherhoodandhollywood.com, and you can follow me at MIH Podcast on Twitter. And of course, please don't forget to like us on Facebook and Instagram at Motherhood and Hollywood and subscribe to the show. There's a lot I need you to do, guys. I just need you to write all this down. And then just do it. I need you to subscribe to the show on iTunes and, of course, leave us a review if you would, please. All right, that's it. I think I'm going to just sit here and maybe gab a little bit more with Lindsay.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to the show, and thanks again for coming on.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Mama funny. Balls.